This morning's scripture is Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 34, and then 44 through 47. If you're worried about the gap, it's the explanation of a parable not in what we're reading. So if you want to read it later, you can, but it's an explanation of a parable not in what we're reading. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth and speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. Again, Jesus spoke to them and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of God is like a merchant in search of pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, she went and sold all that she had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of God is like a net that is thrown into the sea and catches every kind of fish. These are our sacred stories. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, like yeast, like treasure, like a merchant in search of fine pearls, like a fishing net. The kingdom of God. When the scholars of the Jesus Seminar wrestled with the translation of the numerous kingdom sayings attributed to Jesus, They decided that the best translation of the original Greek word, typically translated as kingdom, would be imperial rule. The Greek root connotes the act of ruling as well as dominion. For anyone listening to Jesus in the first century, a phrase connoting God's imperial rule or heaven's imperial rule would have been immediately recognized as the opposite of Rome's imperial rule. Those with ears to hear the stories of Jesus were oppressed under the heel of Roman occupation. They certainly understood Rome's imperial rule and longed for liberation, for an alternative empire. Imperial rule may just be a better translation than kingdom, but for those of us who grew up on Star Wars and lived through the Reagan years, the term empire or imperial seems to carry with it an implicit prefix of evil. Kingdoms, on the other hand, can be magical. They can be animal or even peaceable. When I was in divinity school, there was a good deal of talk about using kingdom rather than kingdom. And while the egalitarian focus is lovely, it seems to miss the political implications. Jesus is using political language. Jesus is setting up the kingdom of God over against the oppressive empires of the world. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, Jesus says, like yeast that a woman hid in measures of flour until it was all leavened. The kingdom of God is like buried treasure that is found, hid, found again through buying the entire field. It's like a merchant in search of fine pearls, like a net cast into the sea. The kingdom of God is hiding like a seed in the ground, hiding like yeast in the flour, like a treasure in a field, like a pearl in an oyster. We play hide and seek a lot in our house. Grayson is a big fan of the game, but is still working on some of the finer points, like hiding in such a way that no part of his body is still visible. Or not hiding in the same place over and over. Perhaps his greatest challenge is waiting to be found. If it takes longer than, say, 30 seconds, he begins to make noise. The older people in my house play hide and seek too. It sounds a lot less like a fun game and more like, have you seen my keys? Where's my new dragon book? Has anyone seen my phone? The kingdom of God is like a seed hid in the ground, like yeast hid in flour, like treasure hid in a field. Jesus uses story after story of the kingdom of God to tell us about an alternative realm, an alternative to ruling an oppressive Rome. Jesus' stories make it clear that this realm is not like anything we've known before, that earthly hierarchies are completely wrong. Jesus' descriptions of the kingdom of God throw almost everything commonly accepted about God on its ear. The realm of God, the alternative realm to the oppressive realm known on earth, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Farmers hated the mustard plant. It spread like wildfire. And then, sure enough, all the birds did come and ate all the seeds, not just the mustard seeds. It was the kudzu of biblical times. Jesus tells us over and over that God's realm isn't what we think it is. It isn't limited to only the righteous. It isn't concerned only with what we think of as holy. God's realm is like a weed. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and hid in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Yeast or leaven appears 11 times in the Second Testament. Each time, except perhaps this one, it's negative or at least leaves a bad taste. Watch out and beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This line appears in all of the Synoptic Gospels. Paul uses yeast the way we use apples. One bad apple spoils the whole bunch. With Paul becomes a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough. For Paul, yeast is compared to boasting, to malice and evil. Leaven as a negative thing probably seems a little odd. After all, there are yeast rolls and cinnamon buns and other amazingly delicious things created only through the power of yeast. Although in a culture where so many have given up gluten, perhaps the idea makes a little more sense. The kingdom of God is like a weed, like leaven. Is this good or bad? Leaven then and now could be understood either way. You get just a little in where it's not intended and something is ruined. You get just a little in where you intended and you have enough bread for the whole week. It's like that mustard seed. You get just a little and before you know it, you've got mustard plants everywhere. Nancy Rockwell points out one thing about these descriptions is they are action-packed adventures. You and I are so intent on getting that pearl, we go home and sell off every single thing we have, lock, stock, and barrel. We pawn the silver, get the secondhand store to take the furniture, cash in the stocks, all of this in order to be the one who owns, wait for it, not a single thing except that pearl. And that cash box that you dug up in the garden, off you go to the bank to take all of your savings and buy the house in order to get to that box. How much was the box worth? Jesus doesn't say. So are we fools? Apparently, it doesn't matter if we are or not. What matters is our passionate and single-minded focus on getting the treasure. We kingdom folk are all in, without a qualm or a doubt. And then there's that yeast. Well, the woman who had all that flour, and I mean a lot of flour, this is a Costco bag, warmed up that yeast with arm muscles, kneading the whole kit and caboodle into enough bread to feed the whole town. Why did she do that? Jesus doesn't say. There's no mention of a famine here, no mention of a feast. Just a woman in her kitchen, gone mad on generosity and sharing. And this, says Jesus, is what the kingdom of God is like. Weeds and yeast and treasure found in a field, treasure found and buried, and then the field is bought, costing everything we have. Is this good or bad? Jesus seems to be trying to convince us not to focus on our preconceived notions of good and bad. Jesus lauded the blind man and the leper. He held up the prostitute and the tax collector, and he said, these are exemplar in the kingdom, all the while condemning the pious religious leaders and calling them a brood of vipers. Listen to this story, Jesus says over and over, and then he spins a yarn that turns everything on its head. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One of them a religious leader and one a tax collector. Listen, now it's not what you think. The tax collector is the one who went away justified. Listen to this. A man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among robbers who beat him and took all of his money and left him for dead. He was passed by three religious leaders, but listen now, not one of them stopped. They passed by on the other side of the road, but a Samaritan, you know the ones you despise? A good Samaritan stopped and cared for the man. It's not about good or bad, not about self-sacrifice or religiosity, not about following all the right rules, not about avoiding sin or adhering to virtue, not about obedience or being good enough. Jesus turns everything we've thought about right and wrong upside down, not just with his companions, sinners and stinking fishermen, prostitutes, not simply in what he sets out as an example of the kingdom of God, yeast and seeds, weeds and farmers, lowly shepherds, poor old women, praying tax collectors. The kingdom of God is hidden, sometimes in plain sight, and sometimes in the unexpected, But our eagerness, our generous extravagance, our willingness to risk everything will uncover it. There's nothing in this alternative realm, this kingdom here on earth, that preaches morality. It's not about good or bad, except in asking us to reconsider what we've put in the bad category and what we've put in the good category. After all, Jesus uses his harshest criticism for the religious, the pious, the most obedient. In every kingdom parable, something surprises. Something is turned upside down. And Jesus lives the kingdom life of his parables, defending the greater faith of the bleeding woman over that of the religious leader, of a woman who has five husbands, of the tax collector, of children, of the leper and the blind man, all over the religious establishment. The kingdom of God is an alternative realm that dislocates the seat of power away from the oppressive empire and toward the people, especially the people who hold the least power in the realm that privileges domination and violence. The kingdom is sometimes hidden, sometimes hard to see. We know this. We know this when trans lives are threatened, when black lives are threatened, when poor lives are threatened, when guns and violence seem to rule and money talks, when people are slaughtered in the streets or by insurance loopholes. The kingdom can be hidden, but like any weed, it will pop up in the most unlikely of places if we simply pay attention, if we do the work of bringing it. In the Gospel of Thomas, we read, his disciples said to Jesus, "When will the kingdom come?" And Jesus said, "It will not come by waiting for it. It will not be a matter of saying, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is.' Rather, the kingdom is spread out upon the earth." And in Luke, once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." The kingdom of God is among you, right here and right now among us. It's in our welcome and care of the refugee family our church is sponsoring. It's in our inclusion. It's in our coming new building and all the possibilities it contains. It's in our letter writing and our calls, our marching. It's in the produce from our garden feeding hungry bellies. The kingdom of God is spread out upon the earth, waiting to be found. Amen.